Kevin Harlan here. Tonight at 5:30 Eastern, the NBA on Prime Crew is back as the Emirates NBA action heats up from Vegas for a thrilling semifinals doubleheader. Then on Tuesday night, December 16th at 8:30 Eastern, the last two teams standing will square off in the championship game for a shot at the cup, bragging rights, and a place in NBA history. And Prime is your exclusive home for it all. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details. Don't miss the thrilling conclusion of the Emirates NBA Cup live from Las Vegas, starting with the semifinals tonight, only on Prime.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Oh, hello, how are you? My goodness. Nice to see you. Oh, boy. The first week. It's February. It is February. And it's Groundhog Day. How about that? Oh boy. I sure am glad you're joining me again or for the first time this week, because my guest is a powerhouse of talent. And I just don't think the entertainment world would be the same if it weren't for this person. Of course, I'm talking about you. That's right. You are my guest this week. Thank you for being here. Oh, you look good. I hope you're feeling good as well. And, I got to be honest. It's just a little. Remember that lady last week? She was working in the basement here. She was going through like some banker's boxes, looking through files. She's still here. And, last week, I didn't have to really bring her up because she, I mentioned her, but I didn't. She was kind of working far enough away, but now her, like, files are real close to me. She's in the bathroom, I guess, now or something, but she's like, real close to me. And so if I start whispering or whatever, she's back. She's back. Well, yes, I was. I mentioned that there was another person down here with me. Why? And what's your name? I'm Josh. No, what's your? I don't see why that's none of my business. I was just asking. I mean, if you're going to be down here next, well, you don't need to. HR, there's no okay. Just you work, and I'll do my. Yeah. See, I knew it. I knew this was going to be weird. But I think we'll be able to power through. No, you're not weird. This situation for okay. February 2nd, Groundhog Day. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Most people love the movie, and Groundhog Day I've always found amusing. I like the ceremony of it. I like the dudes in top hats and up on their dais or whatever, and they're all looking at the groundhog and they go, "Oh yeah, he saw the shadow," and I think that's kind of fun, and but I never buy it. I mean, it doesn't matter what the it's February 2nd. If you tell me we're going to have 6 weeks more of winter, I'd go, yeah, we sure are, because that would take us into mid-March and still pretty cold in a lot of the country. So not interested in your prognosis there, Groundhog. Just be cute. But anyway, I hope your February is off to a good start. Real quick, I'd like to mention our sponsor for the week. This is a good one. This week's sponsor, bread. Oh, boy, don't you just love bread? Maybe you're at a restaurant and you're pretty hungry and you're looking at the menu and, if that server doesn't bring out a basket of bread, some kind of bread for you to enjoy there. Maybe with some pats of butter. Oh, man, you can dig in there while you're deciding what kind of meal to have. And, hey, if it weren't for bread, we wouldn't have sandwiches, would we? Or if we did, they'd be something less appetizing, right? You'd have a ham sandwich between two fish or something like that. And, you can do many. There are many types of bread, that's for sure. You got your, I'm going to take the next 18 minutes to list them. You've got white and wheat. you can make many things out of bread. Holy cow, stuffing, we wouldn't have that if it weren't for bread. Now, not everybody's going to be on board with this next one, but it happens to be a favorite of mine, bread pudding. Oh, I'm a fan. And my grandma used to make chocolate bread pudding that was just amazing, and she gave me the recipe before she died, and I don't have it anymore. I don't know where I put it. So I will never have that again because I don't have the recipe, and she selfishly died. So, but I loved it. Loved it, and she knew it. Sometimes I would house-sit for her or dog-sit for her. She would go on little trips with her senior citizen friends. They would get on a bus, and they would go to Memphis for 2 days, or they would go to Tuscaloosa or whatever and gamble at some of the casinos. And is it Tuscaloosa? What's the thing near? Whatever. So I would house sit and then watch her dog, and she would leave me a nice glass casserole dish of chocolate bread pudding. Oh, I love you, Grandma. So bread can do, and you know what? Sometimes you've got leftover bread there, don't you? And you can feed ducks or whatever. All I'm saying is bread. It's pretty great. Why don't you enjoy some bread this week? And I'd like to thank everybody for writing in with the questions and suggestions. We got another submission this week. It's a good one for the first trip we're going to take this week. Together. Let's go ahead and hop on board the train here and make our way to Vocabulary Station. Boy, you know what I love about this train ride? It's winter out here, and it's the heat is going in the boxcar or whatever, and I've got the windows down. So I'm getting the comfort of the heat, and I'm also getting a cold breeze from the window. It's quite a combination. I'm going to say exhilarating. But I see that we're here. We've arrived at Vocabulary Station. I dropped my pen. I'm going to pick it up. Just give me one second. Oh, how about that? The engineer wanted us to. I guess some people are sleeping and really wanted to wake up those who want to stop off at Vocabulary Station and to make sure we knew. I'm just going to take a sip of water here. Oops! I knocked over my water. I'm just going to clean this up real quick. I'm not quite done. Okay, all right. Now I'm just going to take these soggy paper towels to the trash can. That's why I have a producer, folks, to keep me from wringing all the fun and joy out of a running gag, which, I will happily do. So thank you, Jason. Excellent. Oh, boy. Hey, we at the very least, we have fun, huh? So, vocabulary station, today's word, this week's word, sent in by Ben from Kalamazoo. I got a gal in Kalamazoo. Anyway, that is the, everybody has to sing that in Kalamazoo. Did you know that? The mayor of Kalamazoo sings it the first of every month. He comes out on a podium there outside the city hall and okay. Boy, I hope you guys, I mean, obviously I'm in rare form today, so I hope you're prepared. Anyway, Ben wrote in with a word that I wasn't familiar with, but it turns out I was. And here's what I mean. The word he sent me is crazy old. And you know how we love that. We love the antiquated words and we love the obscure words. So this is perfect. But it's so old that there's been, it's sort of been replaced by another version of this word. And I was familiar with that other version. So the word he sent in is nictate. And, oh, Ben, bless you. You gave these great examples of how to use nictate. And you know what? I'm going to give you the examples first, and you can probably guess as to what nictate means. His first example, you must resist the urge to nictate to win a staring contest. Oh, how about that? That's your first clue. Number two, the doctor instructed me to nictate after using the antibiotic eye drops. That's right. Now, some of you, I bet most of you are saying, well, it means to blink. And, yeah, you're half right. And what I mean by that is it typically means to wink. Nictate could be used for winking or blinking. However, the word that it sort of evolved into, and I don't understand why it evolved in. I bet I do. It would be a guess, but I will tell you what my guess is. The word that I was familiar with is nictitate. So it's added a... well, I'll spell it out. It's added a another IT. Wait a minute. Nictate and... No, yeah, it's added an IT in there. So you got a T-I-T right there in the middle. If you're giggling, then you are listening to the right show. So, nictate became nictitate, which means primarily to wink. If somebody were to tell me, if somebody blinked both eyes and they said, oh, I just nictitated, I would say, yeah, you did. I'm not going to argue with you. But, and it's weird that I knew the word nictitate. I only knew it from, I'm such a nerd. I like to watch Shark Week and I would often, Shark Week, what I love about it is you watch the cool shows and a lot of times it leads you into looking up other things like other stuff about the ocean or whatever. And I remember reading about sharks and one of the attributes they have, physical attributes, is they've got this weird eyelid that they don't close their eyes, but this weird clear eyelid comes up and it can protect their eyes, but they can still see through it. So it would almost be like if our eyelids were clear, we could still see even though we were protecting our eyes at the same time. And that's called a nictitating membrane. And so when I first saw that nictate became nictitate, I went, oh, of course, because sharks have that nictitating membrane. So I'm guessing that the reason there are two words, like I said, this is a guess, is that it's just they both come from the same root, like Latin root, nictase or nictar or whatever it would be. And nictate was used by, I don't know, some group of people. And then nictitate is used by another. And then so whatever. So that's my guess. But man, what great words. So I say use either nictate or nictitate. And Ben, oh, thank you for the submission. A good word. Nictitate. Boy, oh boy. Maybe you feel the urge to nictitate when you're feeling a little flirty. Huh? You see a gal or a guy there across the bar and you want to let them know, hey, I like what you're selling. And yeah, you give them, you nictate or you nictitate in their direction. How about that? Try that with your boss sometime this week. or your teacher, anything like that. Hey, speaking of teachers, I got a good letter from a gentleman who worked at a movie theater, and I think I was saving that for another podcast, but he mentioned at the end of the letter he wanted to know whatever happened to Mrs. Bestian, or as my friends and I in junior high would call her, she was our pre-algebra teacher, Mrs. Bestian, because she, she was well endowed in that area. So he asked if I ever looked her up and if she's like a hot cougar now. A fair question. I haven't. I have not looked up Mrs. Bestian, but I do still have fond memories of her class. I couldn't tell you a thing about pre-algebra, but that's also because I just have no interest in math at all. So therefore, I just didn't care and did bad in it. But if you were to walk into the classroom, you would, and look at me sitting at my desk, you would go, that is the most focused young man I have ever seen, because I don't think my eyes ever left Mrs. Bestian. So you would think that I was intently listening to her lessons. I wasn't. I was certainly staring at her and being polite and behaved, but my mind was elsewhere. Still with Mrs. Bestian. Anyway, boy, remember those? Maybe we'll talk about that in another podcast. The junior high. Junior high days. All right. Nice trip to Vocabulary Station. And, that brings us right on to what I enjoyed this week. Oh, listen to that. Holy cow, who's that walking down the street? Why, it's Miss Bestian. Oh, you still look good, and you were always very kind to me, even though you knew I sucked at math, and it's good to see you. All right, well, you take care, and I hate to see you leave, but I love to see you go. You know what I mean? Okay. So oh, boy. We're just going to let the whole thing play, I think. Because we're still looking. We're still watching. We're still here. Have a good one, Mrs. B. All right. Dropped my damn pen again. What I enjoyed this week, besides that little bit of reminiscing there, bringing me back to my rather creepy junior high days, this is an interesting one for me. I enjoyed a handful of things, as I do every week, and I like to share them with you because I think all too often we can get in the bad habit of talking about things that we didn't like, or always, you know, complaining about something we saw and didn't care for, that kind of thing. I like to celebrate the stuff I really enjoyed, and there were quite a few things. But this week's a little different because it's something that I've enjoyed the last couple months, and it's something that I enjoyed a couple decades ago. But I just finished it again. You know what I mean? So I just finished it this week, so I think it counts. So what I enjoyed this week is a book, and I bet many of you have read it, and I hope you enjoyed it. Cold Mountain by Charles Frazier. I read it when it first came out in like 97 or something, around there, because I was a freshman or sophomore in college, and it came out, and one of my professors sort of raved about it, and I was reluctant to read it at first because I thought it was a popular fiction along the lines of like a Bridges of Madison County or something that might be, you know, okay, but nothing too amazing. And I ended up reading it and go, no, this is boy, oh boy. Yeah, I certainly deserved that. this is popular literature, is what I was trying to say. This is, not only is it universally appealing and accessible, but it is so well written and so lovely. Cold Mountain. You may have seen the movie. I remember seeing the movie after I'd read the book. The movie came out. Late 90s or something, and early 2000s. And I could start researching some of this stuff, but that's no fun, is it? That's a good flick. Jude Law, Nicole Kidman, and Renee Zellweger, who was terrific in it, and she ended up winning the Oscar, if I remember correctly, for Best Supporting Actress. And I remember, yes, she did, because I remember thinking, well, it's got to go to Renee, and she won. And, man, the story, it's based during the Civil War, and a soldier is in a hospital. He's wounded. He's been fighting in the Civil War for going on 4 years, and he says, you know what? I've had enough. I want to go back to the woman I love, this woman that I only briefly knew, and she lived with her father, and I want to go back to her. I'm done with this. And so he goes AWOL and escapes from he leaves the hospital, and he's on the run. Because back then, if you deserted your military assignment, you were essentially hunted down. I mean, they wouldn't go, hey, Johnson's not here, let's go find him. But there were these roving teams of other soldiers that would look for runaway military people. And so he's on the run, and he's got to make his way back to an area of the Appalachians essentially known as Cold Mountain. And it's very much a, I don't want to say modern, because obviously this took place in the Civil War. It's an updated version of Homer's The Odyssey. And the story bounces back and forth between this soldier and the people he meets and the characters he comes across and the adventures he has while trying to make his way back to this woman he loves. And we also learn a lot about the woman and how she's doing and how she's living and how she makes a new friend in this with this other woman who knows the land very well and can help her farm and everything. And the language, some of it is so poetic and so beautiful, and really makes your heart swell, and it breaks your heart, and I think it's terrific. It's one of those books where I would say almost every page I had to look up a word because some of the language is dated. Some of the words are, like botanical and aviary in nature. Like I looked up a word and it was just a type of bird. I was like, oh, all right, well, at least not. So, it's a dense read. But it's so worth it. And it's one of those weird books where I remember liking it back in the day. And then recently I just didn't. I couldn't remember much about it. I knew that I liked it. And I took a trip up to in September, I took a trip to a very secluded cabin at the top of this mountain. And the area that mountain was in was the area that Cold Mountain takes place in, partially. So I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool to revisit that book while I'm sitting here essentially on the land that it's talking about? And I read about half of it on that trip. And when I got home, for whatever reason, I didn't pick it up again until this week. One of those things. I'm sure you've all done that. You readers out there who, for whatever reason, you get sidetracked and you go, oh, I forgot I was, or you know, for whatever reason, I stopped reading that, and I need to pick it back up. So so that's what I did this week. I picked Cold Mountain back up and finished it, and boy, am I glad I did. A wonderful novel, Cold Mountain by Charles Frazier. And after you read it, treat yourself to the film. So let's take a look at a letter that came in from from Martin, MJF, a good man, a talented man. He brings something up that, I appreciated, but I also kind of want to clarify. So he says, hey, in my opinion, you shouldn't ever apologize for your content of the podcast, even if you might think it's lame. And I started thinking about it, and I think I gave myself a hard time last week in particular. But often I will go, I wonder, I'll just say out loud to you, is this interesting? Is this, does anybody care about this at all? Or I'll kind of make self-deprecating jokes about how I've just been rambling or not really talking about anything. And I want you to know that I'm never, when I do that, I'm never suggesting to you, my guest, that you should get up and leave. Or that I feel like I'm wasting your time. I don't. I feel like we're having a good hang. But I do like being self-deprecating at times, and because it makes me laugh to think about. I don't know. For whatever reason, it makes me laugh. So thank you for that, Marty. And it's going to happen again. I'm going to apologize to you guys for wasting your time, whether it be deliberate or not. But know that I am enjoying every second. So I've also been getting some letters from, because if you have a question for me or anything like that, it's joshpodcast@bobandtom.com. And a handful of you have been asking about my love life or my relationship status and things like that. And hey, I appreciate you guys, wanting to know, but that's not something I care to talk about. And the reason is, I feel like I'm a pretty open book, and I give a lot of myself on the morning show and on this podcast. And I like to keep things, some things for myself. I like to have a few things that are just mine, and that happens to be one of them. I can tell you that. In a vague sense, things are good and there's no shortage of love in my life. And I'm always trying to be better when it comes to things like relationships and always working on stuff like that. So, but I'm just not willing to get into specifics. It's weird it's a weird thing. It's weird. I think some folks would be really surprised at how introverted a lot of performers or entertainers or people in the public eye are, and it kind of seems unfair to us. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. It's like, well, you're choosing to put yourself out there, and you clearly crave some sort of spotlight. So how can you complain about people, giving you the attention that you seemingly seek? And by the way, I hope nobody misconstrued my explanation for not talking about relationships and things, like current relationships and stuff, as complaining. I was not doing that at all. There are times where you'll hear a public figure complain, like, oh, I can't go anywhere. Oh, I can't. And it's easy for me and everybody to go, well, that's the trade-off, isn't it? You're rich and famous, and you sacrifice some anonymity for that. But it's kind of, I've been thinking about this in the last couple of days particularly, and I'll tell you why in a second. I guess the last 24 hours or so. Because... it's kind of unfair, right? Like, that's not necessarily how it works. Just because somebody enjoys entertaining and being in, an actor or a singer or on the radio or whatever you're doing, there's more anonymity with radio than there are those other things. But doesn't necessarily mean that they want to be talked to at a urinal, or they want to be, quote unquote, bothered at a restaurant. And I always like it when people say hi. I do. And if I'm busy doing something, I will just let that person know, like, oh man, I really appreciate it. Hey, I'm in the middle of working this thing out with whoever I'm talking to, whatever. But I really appreciate you. You know what I mean? There are ways to do it. But if you're Leonardo DiCaprio, you would spend all day explaining yourself out of situation. You know, you'd be like, I haven't had 1 minute of time to think. I just need. So there are probably times where you do want to snap, and you do snap, maybe even in spite of yourself. The reason that this has been on my mind is because, as most of you know, and this may seem odd, Dustin Diamond died, the guy who played Screech on Saved by the Bell. And there are, look, I'm not above making inappropriate off-color jokes when it comes to famous people passing away and stuff like that. And because to me, and I touched on this on an earlier podcast, sometimes inappropriate humor is just a defense mechanism. And it's also so inappropriate that that's what's funny to me. Not the joke itself, but the brazenness or rudeness or whatever. That's what kind of makes me laugh. And I know that's a weird thing, but that's just how it is for me. So, but Dustin Diamond got me thinking. It just, talk about a guy who his reputation was not good. He, by most accounts, was unfriendly and mean. He stabbed a guy. I haven't really looked up the specifics of that, but I know he got into a fight in a bar. He was always arguing with people and threatening to fight them. I'm not saying this is 100% who he was, but these are aspects of who he was. And he did stab somebody, and he was broke, and you wonder, it's easy for us to go, oh my gosh, you were on a syndicated sitcom for so many years. How do you not have any money left? Well, you never know. And with him, it's a little easier to go, well, nobody hired him. After Saved by the Bell, how could you hire Screech to play a cop or a medical doctor or the romantic lead? I mean, that's just he was so pigeonholed in that nerdy little role that he couldn't break out of it. And it could also be said Hollywood wouldn't allow him to break out of it. We'll never know if he was talented at anything other than being Screech, because I don't know that he ever got the chance. He made a porno at one point because he needed money and attention or whatever. But what got me, so anyway, his reputation, not good. But I look at it and kind of go, Can you blame him? That guy must have. Imagine the life he must have had. Not only during Saved by the Bell, but even worse, post Saved by the Bell. Because during, he's at least still working and he's making money. But he was the butt of the joke in that show. He was a buffoon. He was the one member of the core cast that wasn't considered hot, and he was treated like that by his audience as well, not just on the show. He could not get out from under that Screech shadow. And this all may seem very slight, that the star of a Saturday morning syndicated comedy that by most, if I remember correctly, never once made me laugh, but I watched quite a few episodes. The canned audience sure seemed to think it was funny. I remember it just being a mindless sort of show with some hot girls, and I could watch it while I was eating cereal or whatever. And so it may seem like, why are you spending all this thought on Dustin Diamond? It just struck me that I think he had a pretty sad life, and that his reputation of being an a-hole is a little unfair, because of course he was, because I guarantee where did he find a break from it? And you hope he did, but I don't think he did. And I think his behavior and personality in the last part, post Saved by the Bell proved that. Mario Lopez isn't stabbing people in a bar. Nobody else in that cast They may have, everybody's got their own personal things going on. But Screech is, and man, I mean, I just proved it right there. I didn't call him Dustin just now. I called him Screech. Dustin's issues, personal issues, were so bad that they all became pretty public. They became, you know, he couldn't keep it in his own home. He had to, I mean, they blew up. They became public. And I mean, he spent his life as a punchline, and it had to have been painful. And I don't say any of this to try to make anybody feel bad. Because what I see may not be all. He may have had many happy days. You know, he may have, who's to say? I don't know much about the guy. I just know what I have seen and what I've theorized. So I could be way off on this. I have a feeling I'm not. It's just such an interesting dichotomy. How do the famous stay private? And should they be allowed to? It's a debate, I think, that will never go away. In a world where anyone can become, literally anyone can become famous. Oh, boy. With one, like, 20-second video. Think of the guy skateboarding to that Fleetwood Mac song, drinking Ocean Spray. That guy, all of a sudden, what do you think? A third, half of the world knew about him? After who knows how long? I mean, we are in the age where to be famous, all it takes is a seemingly random video that gets some traction. Plenty of people are still getting famous on, working hard and talent and honing their craft and things like that. I'm old school when it comes to that stuff. I prefer that sort of fame. I prefer fame that seems earned. But I do not begrudge anybody for becoming famous out of luck or timing or, hell, I wouldn't even say that Ocean Spray guy wasn't skilled. He was holding a phone, skateboarding down the street. I couldn't do it. That takes a certain amount of skill. So it's just interesting. And so now, is that guy no longer allowed to read a book on a park bench and not be bothered? And again, not every fan encounter for these people are, they can't all be bothersome. There's no way. There's no way. They have to like some of it. But it's something to think about. It's something I think about a lot. I mean, I've come in contact with many people whose names and faces you would recognize. And I have to stop myself sometimes from gushing or being annoying with my questions about certain things they did or stuff like that and letting them have their space. But I also have to make sure I'm not too avoidant, meaning if I'm opening for a really famous comedian, I want to make sure that I'm friendly and talking to them, you know, not ignoring them. I mean, there's a happy medium to be found. And I've been lucky enough to be around enough people who I consider celebrities to sort of learn where that happy medium is. And of course, everybody's different. You have to adjust it a bit, but it's just an interesting thing. It's really interesting. How do you feel about it? Consider, how do you act when you see somebody that you consider famous? Maybe you're super shy and you don't even say anything. Maybe you do what many people did with Dustin Diamond. hey, Screech, you suck, that kind of thing. And maybe you're not doing it because you want to hurt his feelings or you're being negative. You're just joining in. You're just doing what you've seen the other characters on that show do to him or whatever. That's your way of letting him, you know, it's a strange thing. It's really interesting. And something to think about, I think. It really is something to think about. Obviously, I don't have all my thoughts on the matter completely. I'm unable to articulate them entirely because it's an ongoing debate in my own head. But I have this suggestion. If you see somebody that you're a fan of, an athlete, a singer, an actor, a comedian, whatever, just be nice. Just be nice. And treat them like you would anybody, any normal person that you're meeting. That has never failed for me. And in fact, there are a few instances where it went really well for me, where I ended up becoming friends with that person because I treated them like I would anybody else. So I'm not trying to give you a lesson here or anything like that, or to suggest that how you look at fame and celebrity is bad. Not at all. Not at all. I just think it's a really interesting conversation. And yes, if you see somebody and you'd like to say hi, you can do just that. You know what? Hello. I just want to let you know I really enjoy your work. Thank you. Thank you for it. That is so nice. If somebody doesn't like hearing that, then that is on them. They are now look, everybody has a bad day. But if you are genuine and you say something as simple and concise as that and meaningful, and they're rude to you, there's a chance they might just be a prick. Give them the benefit of the doubt and go, you know what, the guy or the lady, who knows what happened. Hopefully, you know, try not to take it too personally if they're rude to you, but hopefully they won't be. And if you ever see me out and about, I just want to let you know, leave me the hell alone, all right? That's all I ask. Oh, I'm just joshing you. Ugh. Can you imagine if that's what I named this podcast? Just joshing you. I think I might do it. So, all right. Well, I'm looking over my notes here. And, oh, damn it. I had one other story, but I just dropped it. Now, let me pick it up here. Are you kidding me? You're not going to do it? Fair enough. Fair enough. No, not you. Oh, shoot. It's the lady. Yeah. Are you almost done with this project? I know, but can you at least... Can you... I was about to take this to an unfortunate place, and I stopped myself. So let me do another take here. Are you still working on this project? What? 3 months? All right. Apparently she's going to be around for another 3 months. So anyway, we'll see how this goes. No, I'm not complaining. It's just, it seems like an awful long project. I will talk to Tom about it. All right. Listen. You son of a bitch. I did not write down something for us to work on this week. So I will talk to you guys next week.
Check out the podcast that inspired Taylor Sheridan's latest series, Landman,
There's a stretch of road in the oil-rich region of West Texas. This region of West Texas, known as the Permian Basin, is in the midst of the biggest oil boom in history. This is a story of roughnecks, billionaire wildcatters, and wannabe dreamers. My name is Christian Wallace. From Texas Monthly and Imperative Entertainment, this is Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.